Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Wastelanders, Vault Dwellers, welcome back. This is the Fallout Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots, and I am here with an ensemble crew. We've got our patrons joining us again for the end of September. This is crazy. It's the end of September. I'm about to get hit by a hurricane. So if this is the last podcast you hear from me, it's been fun. but I've, real talk, we've boarded up the windows. Not really boards. They're like panels. We're set up. We're going to be okay, I think. But it's going to be a little bit of a rocky ride. But anyway, we're recording this anyway on a Tuesday night. And with me are some of the regular crew that get to join us every month because there are tier four or higher patrons. Let's give a shout out to I'm going to introduce all of you at the same time, and you're all going to say hi at the same time. Ready? So I'm just going to run down the names. Get yourselves unmuted. Here we go. We've got Lil Green, Bennett, hi. Maverick, Scarecrow, and Nova. Hi, everybody.
I love it.
So today's topic is, we are talking about what the world was like. I want you to go back in time to the 2070s. I know that sounds like it's forward in time, but in Fallout terms, if you played any of the games, then you're at a time past this. So back to the 2070s, back to the pre-war era, and think about the world at the time. You've got like this impending war between the US and China. You have a virus that's going around killing people. You have a much bigger stratification between the haves and the have-nots. So much corruption when it comes to corporations and the government and the people who are being taken advantage in those situations. I want to know, if you were living during this time period, if you were to transplant yourself, who you are today, with your skills, with your ideals, with your beliefs, and you were to just like boop, move you into the future, into the past future Fallout. This is getting weird. Who would you be? What would you do for a living? What would your agenda be? Would you be taking advantage of the craziness of the situation? Would you be fighting back against something? Would you be doing the same job you do today, but in the context of the pre-war Fallout world? So who wants to go first? Anybody? Everyone's like stewing over this.
I can.
Nova, go for it.
Let Nova go first for once.
All right, cool. It's my talk, I guess. Probably the most realistic thing that I would be doing would more likely just be a grunt in the military, probably the Marines. There's something just eye-catching about the Marines that I've always really enjoyed. I'm an unskilled worker, and I'm very patriotic. And so once the Chinese attack, I would probably would have signed up for the Marines as soon as I was of age, and then we'll show up to, I don't know, Anchorage, or maybe if it's later in the war, to the Philippines, or probably even China itself, to fight the Red Menace.
Yeah, so you would do your duty as a patriot and fight for America.
Yes, exactly. That's the most realistic and idealized version of this. So kind of alternate would be, a business mogul or something like that. That swept up with, like, if it's like later in life, where, you know, if I started a company or something like that, and then probably somehow be integrated into the war machine. Like just flip my manufacturing over, flip my business over from whatever I'm doing at the time, more than likely training dogs, because that's what I'm doing right now, to training like sniffer dogs for bombs.
War dogs.
Yeah, exactly. You know, cyberhounds like Rex.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, I mean, you could, yeah, you could have a whole cyberhound like anti-war unit thing going on.
Well, they, no, more than likely to be swept up into the war machine. So we're training dogs for the military. So like sniffer dogs for IEDs or bombs or biological agents or chemical weapons or anything else like that. Or, you know, something like for like SEAL Team 6, where like, you know, they send the Belgian Malinois up ahead to tackle the Chinese during an operation and so that they can secure them or, you know, execute them or whatever they're going to do with them.
Right.
That's
right.
Like it, like if that's, that's what I'm saying. It's like if the war started and like later in my life where I'm like not a military, I'm not a serving age anymore, right, or something like that.
Well, here real quick, we got ones and zeros joining us as well. Ones and zeros, welcome to the show. Can you hear us? Are you there? I don't know if ones and zeros is actually here. Ones and zeros, if you can hear us, say hi. Otherwise, if you can mute your microphone while we're chatting, that would be helpful. So Nova, go on. So, okay. So training. So would you, okay, if you had the choice, would you do biological dogs or would you do cyber dogs for the war?
I don't think I would honestly would have the choice to.
But if you did, let's say you were a business mogul, like you're saying, right? And you can see the conflict coming. The conflict is on the horizon and you've got experience in how animals work, right? This is maybe where your background is. And you're going, okay, if I'm going to do a startup business and I'm going to hopefully the government comes and just buys me out, like buys all my services, pays me lots of money in order to do something because you can see this coming, right? Do you think you go cyber dogs? Do you go cybernetics? Do you go actual trained real biological dogs because they can maybe do things the cybernetic dogs can't because they're real?
More than likely it would be, I think, like, because I've experienced what's called training nose work. So this is like I said, this is what like the TSA uses at airports to sniff for, you know, food or drugs or anything like, yeah, that. I have that in a more civilian context as what's called it's keeping the dog entertained. It's called, I'm actually blanking on the name right now. Sorry. This looks very bad on me.
But no, it's fine. It's fine. It happens.
It's keeping the dog entertained. It's keeping the dogs doing something that they naturally do to entertain them, so they're not being destructive. And one of those is called scent work, which a lot of dogs already do. So that's basically hiding a treat around your house or hiding a treat within a certain area and having a dog go through a search pattern in order to find what you want them to find. So I would probably be offering that service to the military, training Belgian Malinois or German Shepherds or Dobermans or whatever they're going to or whatever they want to use to sniff out bombs, or like to sniff out the chemical components of a bomb. So the nitrates that might be with an IED or something like that, sniff those specifically out or sniff out specifically humans. So during the invasion of China itself, they have the dogs that can specifically smell out where someone might be hiding, like a sniper or someone maybe around the corner. And so the dog would go in and tackle that person down.
Yeah. Or spies or dogs that can identify spies because somebody figures out like, oh, this person's a spy and they're on the run. So you get dogs in order to like ferret them out in situations.
Exactly. Something like that. Like a police military working dog, something, well, you know, they're attack dogs essentially. That's what I train right now. I train service and therapy dogs. This is kind of goes against what I do already, but patriotism wins over ethics in some circumstances, I think, especially when money's involved.
I can see what you're saying there. I mean, that would be helpful as well. You know, you would be getting, say, veterans coming back who would need something like, you know, certain types of dogs in order to help take care of them.
Yeah, especially if they have their legs blown off, which is what I work with right now is service dogs for people who use wheelchairs. That's why I primarily train. And so that would be a second line. That would be a second line of work that I might be doing on the side. Primarily, though, would be training these hounds of war because
hounds of war.
What else are you going to call them?
Yeah, no, that sounds cool. That sounds like the name of your business.
Yeah. Hounds of war. You can't call them attack puppies.
Okay, attack puppies works too, but no, Hounds of War, I think, is going to get you more business.
I see you can't call them attack puppies.
I know, and like, I just took it in the opposite direction and said, what about maybe you could?
You could, yeah, I suppose, yeah. Anyway, so that's just my take. Like, realistically, probably a Marine, just a grunt infantryman sent to the front lines to die for our nation.
I got
gotcha. If I had a choice, it would be doing that, training dogs for the military or the FBI or whatever government agency is going to buy out my business or buy out all my services to so I could train a Belgian Malinois or even breed Belgian Malinois or German Shepherds or Dobermans to have specifically what I'm looking for so that I can provide that to the military or the police force or something like that.
Yeah. Whoever happens to be,
or the enclave that I get a slot on the oil rig.
Yeah. I bet the enclave probably has service dogs. That would make sense. Well, here, let's open this up, guys. I have a feeling that being a military and serving in this conflict might be a popular choice. Does anybody else feel like they would side with that for themselves?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, Maverick says no. Lil Green says, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I mean, because the only other thing that I have going for me is the photography. So, like, it's...
You could be a war photographer. I don't know.
War photographers are things, yeah.
Well, yeah, so like, you know, like the military would be a thing for me easily because it is something that I had thought about before, like when I was still in college, like just joining one of the branches to be a correspondent of some sort. But, you know, like my parents were like, yeah, no, let's, well, my mom mostly was like, yeah, no, don't do that.
we want you alive, please.
Yeah, well, because my dad was a veteran. So like, you know, he was kind of, he supported it, but like, I kind of like staying home. So
yeah. Yeah, I get that. I mean, there's benefits and there's drawbacks. I can see that. And it is a risky profession. You could potentially go into places where you are getting shot at or
It's still something that I thought, I think back to, it's like, I wonder what it would have been like. Should I have done it? But I'm kind of happy like with what I've done so far.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So other than that, what do you see yourself doing?
Honestly, if it's not that, it's either doing a grunt or just learning a job that is skill based. Because I do.
They probably still have photographers.
Yeah.
So if you were to stick with.
I guess it would just be a different aspect of what I do. Because, like, I know, like you know, people are going to get married no matter what. But, like, in the economy that there was, I don't think people are going to be high, like, doing, like, the luscious weddings that I.
The wealthy are.
Pay me. Yeah, the wealthy are at least. But again, like, we're photographers are a dime a dozen. So it's just like, I probably see myself still doing photography just in a different like aspect of it. Or I just straight up join the military. So
it's one or the other.
Because that's like a safe bet. And, you know, like I'll be taken care of. And it's to a point.
Until you're sent off to war, you'll be taken care of.
Yeah, I mean, even still, like, they like, you know, the United States tries to take care of its soldiers because, you know, without that, then your army is nothing. Mm-hmm. So, hence why I said try.
Yeah, and some people have better experiences with that, and some people have worse experiences with that. I've spoken with people on both sides of that dilemma. What do the rest of you guys think about this military thing? Is it not for you? Is it like, yeah, but I'd rather do something else? It's not really who I am. Maverick, you were straight up like, nope, not for me.
Nope.
Don't want to serve in the military.
I have thought about it, but because of everything that's going on with me, I'm even probably back in those days, I would probably still be driving because I get better. I get paid better probably than most people.
Yeah. You're trucking. So if you were in the situation, and you are still a truck driver, right? Mm-hmm. Except one of the main differences is you might be driving like a fusion engine truck.
Oh, yeah.
Does that sound freaking cool? Because it sounds pretty cool to me.
Sounds awesome.
Hear that baby purr underneath you.
Yeah. So, okay.
And hoping it doesn't explode either.
So I don't know nearly as much as you do about the way trucks work and, you know, shipping logistics and all of that. What would be different about having like a nuclear powered fusion engine truck as opposed to a like gas or diesel engine?
I probably have to say probably weight distribution.
Okay. So how?
Because I think nuclear would probably be lighter than diesel. I'm
yeah I think you're right.
Because right now our mathematics, which you're going to go deep into my head right now in truck driving, so hold on tight.
Okay, all right.
So diesel right now for us, it's 7 pounds per gallon.
Okay.
That we have to go through. Or 7.5. It differs by who does it. I go 7.5 just to make sure I have enough space. So probably nuclear, you can also, you don't have to fuel up as much.
Well, you don't, as you, diesel, theoretically, so you wouldn't even have to fuel up at all. Potentially,
it'd probably be like a mini aircraft carrier, you know, a nuclear aircraft carrier.
I mean, you probably need water. You probably need like coolant and other components. But there's not really a fuel involved in the same way as like gas.
So you could probably haul more weight, but I know in the real world here there are federal regulations I have to follow. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it'd be different. I think it'd probably be different in the Fallout world because they're because they're at war and they need stuff pronto.
Yeah. So that's another aspect of it is if we are in the Fallout world, and I mean the world's gone to hell. Other countries have been bombing each other into oblivion. The United States and China are kind of the only two big guys on the block that are even really doing okay anymore. And now all of a sudden they're duking it out. I would assume, like, let's say you are a contract trucker and, you know, one day you're delivering grocery stuff to stores and the next day you're delivering home goods and the next day you're delivering tools to whatever. You're like, whatever, you're just taking whatever you get and driving across the country. All of a sudden, now you're contracted by the military and you're delivering armaments or equipment or whatever they give you. Like, would that be cool? Like, what if one day they're like, hey, we've got 30 suits of power armor in your trailer. Mm-hmm. Take it across the country. Is that cool? Or is that like, oh my God, I've got 30 suits of power armor. How do you feel about that?
That'd be heavy. First off, that'd probably be heavy.
Okay. Well, what if it's like 10 suits? I don't know how many you would fit in a trailer based on size limitations.
I'm just saying, sure. Just off the top of my head, it's probably heavy as all heck. But yeah, that'd be pretty cool, but scary at the same time because of all the stuff, if it's not properly secured and everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's expensive gear. It's for the war effort. I mean, it's one thing if Walmart doesn't get their cereal boxes, they didn't get their cereal boxes. It's another thing if Alaska doesn't get their power armor because they're on the front line, right? Like,
right.
So that's a little scarier. Would you sneak back there and try one on?
I would really want to, but to be honest, they'd probably have that thing under lock and key though.
Probably.
Yeah.
But it would be kind of cool, or like they're you drop it off and you get to watch them unload all the power armor and be like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, look at all that awesome tech on that thing. That would be nuts. Can you think of anything else that might be different with like a fusion engine? Do you think you think vehicles? I mean, I don't know the logistics of like how a fusion engine will work. Would the trucks drive faster? Like, I guess you wouldn't want to crash them because potentially you get like nuclear spill out all over the highway. Or, I mean, chances are it's not going to explode, but there is the possibility, I guess. I don't know. Seems kind of cool. Yeah.
I don't really know, to be honest, because I'm probably thinking like, you know how Tesla came out with that, with their so-called semi, it's all electronic. I figured probably something similar, but with a different type of engine, different type of source where it's all quiet or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like all futuristic. Well, but yeah, you see semis in the game. I mean, sort of, but.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the design of that? Like, they do look different. Like, I know there's some pride in like being a truck driver. I mean, you've talked about this, but you've shown pictures of your truck and like, oh, look, it's all clean and you take good care of it and all of that, right? Like, mm-hmm. what if you were driving one of the trucks that you've seen in the game? Would you feel like, oh, this looks cool? Or would you feel like, eh, it's kind of dumb?
I would. I mean, if it was cleaner.
Well, yes. Yeah, it all cleaned up, brand new. Not on the side of the road.
It'd be pretty cool because it's top. It would have been top of the line back then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of what it is now in the game. So.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Anybody else have any questions about trucking in pre-war Fallout world? What that would be like?
Not a question, but it would be bad if you're hauling that power armor and the Chinese spies figure out. So.
Yeah,
really bad.
No, you don't want that. What if a Chinese spy came to you and was like, hey, what if I gave you a few million bucks to just kind of take that trailer off your hands and you could just say, you don't know what happened to it. You parked and then you came back and it was gone.
I'm an American. I like.
Apple pie.
Yes.
Baseball.
Baseball.
Cheeseburgers.
Money.
I don't. I mean, everyone has their price, but a job's a job and I have to get it done.
Good man. Good man. Yeah. All right. Ones and Zeros is back. I don't know. Ones and Zeros, can you hear us now?
Yeah.
Yeah, can there you are. I can.
So what had happened was my phone isn't as good at picking up frequencies as I thought. So you guys just like when I was biking home, you guys were just like frozen for 30 seconds at a time, like every 10 seconds. So yeah. I was like, you know what? I'll just speed home. And yeah, I haven't even like taken off anything. I'm still wearing my entire work uniform just sitting on my computer.
Awesome. Well, you get set up and we'll come back to you in a minute. But we're talking about what life would be like in the pre-war of America, because most of us are American. In fact, all of us are American. Aren't we all American? I don't always remember these things. But and what you would do, like what would your life be like in like the 2070s if you were in pre-war Fallout world. So far we've had people talk about being soldiers because of the war effort, and then potentially photography still for Lil Green, and then Maverick thinks that he'd still drive trucks, but they'd be like fusion trucks with hauling potentially different kinds of things across the country. But yeah, it makes sense. I wonder, you know, like you look at the trucks in Fallout. And we'll move on from trucks soon, but I just got these other questions that pop in my head. They look like they're kinds of things that were driven by humans, but you would think with robots running around, why isn't there more robotic trucking? Like, why didn't they automate it?
Maybe it ran over one too many children.
Maybe.
I'd like to speak on this topic. In the real world right now, they're actually testing out automated trucking.
Right.
Trucks right now, but there still has to be a human behind the wheel just in case the computer does not work. So I'm guessing that's why it's not like that right mm-hmm. now, mm-hmm. even in the Fallout world.
The other thing about like robots in the Fallout world is they all seem to have personalities. You know, think about like the Mr. Handys and things yeah. like that. And some of them get kind of upset. Like it seems like they haven't designed AIs that just do a job and do it well. Like they all kind of have their own quirks. And I wonder if that messes things up while putting cars on the road. So
robot road rage.
Robot road rage.
I was just thinking.
Yeah, maybe that was a thing. I don't know of anything in the lore that talks about it, but that would be a really, really funny thing if it existed.
So this is a note to everyone. Don't drive stupid in front of robots radio. He will have a super road rage.
Buddy bot, well, take the wheel. Well, tell you what. Why don't we go thank our patrons? We're going to take a quick break. We'll thank our patrons. We've got some reviews to read out real fast. And we will be right back to find out what the rest of our guests would do in a pre-war Fallout situation. All right. Don't go anywhere. All right, here we are, and we've got a new patron that signed up this last week, Chan H. Welcome to the Patreon. Thank you for supporting the show. Very much appreciate it. And this currently we have 61 patrons, and two Sentry Bots who gets shout outs every week. That includes Dylan R and Leonard M. Thank you so much for the extra support from you and from everybody's support, whatever tier you're at. Thank you so much for taking the time and the money to help make this a real thing for me full time. I can't tell you guys how much I appreciate that. Also, we have some reviews. I'll try to get through these really fast. We have three new ones that came in this last week. One from August Jameson in Canada, who this one's short and sweet. Amazing show. 5 stars. That's it. I just wanted to compliment the show. Awesome. Angus, thank you so much for that. Then we have Hankin Franken in the United States, who writes, great show, 5 stars. Robots/Tom is an amazing host. Fallout has been my favorite franchise since starting Fallout 3 when I was 13. This show is a fun way to fly through a 10-hour workday and nice way to refresh my memory for lore I have forgotten about. Tom has a soothing voice, which sometimes still keeps you engaged. Well, which somehow still keeps you engaged. Not sometimes. Somehow. There's a very different meaning there. Keeps you engaged throughout all the episodes. Only on episode 24 currently, but I'm excited to make my way through the rest of the episodes and get caught up. Yeah, catch on up. You've got like 200 more to go. So good luck with that. Then we have, oh, and thank you so much for taking the time to leave the review. Then we have Beetle Coast 8870 from Portugal. Welcome from Portugal. I don't know if we've gotten anyone from Portugal before. It's hard to know for sure. It's been a while, potentially. Amazing podcast. 5 stars. Found this occasionally and made me install Fallout 4 and New Vegas again. Very good info, research, and insight by Tom. I'm listening from beginning, and each program makes me want to play more. Keep up the work. Wish you huge success, Tom. Thank you so much, Beetle Coast. All right. If you want to help out the show and have an Apple podcast account, an Apple account, you can just log into Apple Podcasts. Even if you don't listen there, leave a 5-star review with some words. I will read it out on a future episode. Leaving a rating on Spotify is also an awesome way to help the show as well. All of that stuff lets people know, hey, this is a show worth listening to. It gets us out there a little bit more. It helps with the search algorithms, all of that stuff. So thank you for just taking a little bit of your time to do that. I really do appreciate it. All right, we've got more stuff to talk about with our patrons, so let's continue with that.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest still eager to serve.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
I forgot to hit the second button the first time, so they just ended up in a slightly different order. But we're back. We're back with our patrons talking about pre-war Fallout World and what they would do. Who wants to go next? We've got Bennett. Bennett's got his hand up. All right, Bennett. Let's do this again because I accidentally had you muted. What would you do in the Fallout world?
You know, Tom, picture this. The year is 2070 something. All right. You just got done doing the Silver Shroud lore cast.
Uh-huh. Yep.
The Grognak lore cast.
That's my favorite
one. You're done with work. You're tired. All right. You don't want to cook a meal. You don't want to clean your house. So your robotic butler, your Mr. Handy, one of General Atomic's finest, does it for you. And who do you get that from? Me, the General Atomic sales guy.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay, so we were talking about this a little bit when you were muted and nobody heard you talk about it. But we talked about how you would be like a business to business sales guy. You'd be the guy. Can you explain like what would that look like?
Yeah, so I would go to resellers, different stores, people who are selling directly to you know, your at-home person. In Fallout 4, the lone survivor, his house, I wouldn't be talking to him. I'd be talking to the store where he bought it from to sell it to. Mm-hmm. So I'd be going to different expos showing the managers of Super Duper Mart, the people who purchase for Super Duper Mart, hey, why should you buy General Atomics instead of Robco? Here's why. And trying to secure deals with them.
Yeah,
that's what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah, yeah. So you're selling like in bulk to the big buyers. So okay. So here's another question. In the Fallout universe, there are a lot of different robots. Lots of different robots. You got Mr. Handy cleaning your house, but then there's a number of military grade robots that we run across, and then there's variations. You know, like there's Miss Nanny, right? And I mean, there's a whole bunch. Do you have like when you go to these expos, are you? Is there like a model that you really like to sell that you're just like, oh, this is my favorite and I really love it when people are interested in this one and I love to pitch this one?
I'm pushing the Soltrons. I think that they're very versatile. They can move quickly. They can do a lot of damage, right? It doesn't take much material to produce these. So I probably have a higher margin. right? I'm pushing these assaultrons on people. I'm trying to set up deals with the government so that I'm guaranteed to make money. Mm-hmm. Pushing assaultrons on the military.
Yeah, that's so that was my next question. With the whole war effort thing going, then you know the military showing up or knocking on your door, calling up your number, saying like, hey, what models do you have that we could, you know, work with you guys on, put into service? How does this, you know, how does this work? You've got assaultrons, you've got there's a whole bunch of them,
right? Sentry
there's
bots.
Sentry bots, there's the
Mr. Gutsy.
Mr. Gutsy. Mr. Gutsy models, that's true. Yeah, there's a variety of them. Oh man, I can picture you doing this. Like I can envision it in my head. Guys, do you have any questions about this, about this whole robotic sales thing?
I would transport his robots too.
There you go. You guys could work out a deal together.
We could.
You could be the distribution. You could be the sales. Now we just need somebody to work on manufacturing. Anybody else want to manufacture robots?
I mean, I guess that'd kind of be in my area of interest. Cause I'm currently more into like software engineering, but since it is like the '70s, I don't think I'd really be interested that much then. I wouldn't have been born then, but I don't think I would have been as interested because it's not as advanced as it is today.
Well, this is the 2070s. This is like the decade before the bombs drop in Fallout. So we're talking just a few years before the Great War, the bombs drop, everybody lives in the wasteland or in a vault. So in that world, you've got Mr. Handy and Assaultrons and these other robots, and they all need not only the physical bodies that they walk around with, but they also need the programming. So that absolutely would be part of the creation of them.
Yeah, that's fair. I also wouldn't mind working in like a manufacturing plant. I'm not sure what the word would be for that.
Plant.
I really don't mind like any physical labor jobs, to be honest. But I guess I'd be like the kind of jack of all trades, but as a master of none, really, sort of guy.
Okay. All right. So what would you rather do? Would you rather work behind the scenes on like the coding for the robots and like the AI and all of that? Or would you rather actually work on the floor, like, you know, with actual physical tools and, or probably machinery of some, like probably large machines, making sure that like the automation and the, you know, the whole conveyor belt thing. I can imagine just like, I think we've even seen them in the Fallout games, like these conveyor belts with like the big machines that piece the robots together, all of that.
I'd probably want to try and like code and try to expand their functionality. Because we can always make more robots to make more of them. I really wouldn't need to be there, I don't think. It seems like the Mr. Handys and the robots, they, at least the more sentient ones, the ones that have their own personalities, they're able to learn, they're able to develop themselves. So I don't think like a software engineer in this case would really need to do too much. But for the other models, like the Assaultrons or anything else, really, I'd probably need to work on it as well.
Yeah, I can imagine roles for each of those things. Plus improvements, you know, like you're constantly like a video game, right? You come up with like patches and then you've got like, oh, you got the Mr. Handy model from last year, but do you have the latest, you know, firmware update? Because sometimes he gets a little cranky in the afternoons, you know, like you can do that kind of thing, right? So here's another question for you, ones and zeros. If you were to design a robot, is there a certain functionality and personality you would attach to it that you think would make sense in the Fallout world? Because you're in manufacturing, right? You got the Mr. Handy with the kind of butler personality. And then you've got, you know, Protectrons and Assaultrons, and they all kind of have their own base model personalities and variations. Is there a design you might like want to put out into the world?
I'd probably want to make like just a general labor kind of thing, so that it just like a cheap worker that, instead of paying a bunch of teenagers like $10 an hour to do, it's mainly just the robots, which currently with people like, oh yeah, robots are taking all the jobs. I don't think they'd be too happy with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not my job to make them happy.
It's your job to sell robots. It's just to make the robots that Bennett can sell and Maverick can ship across the country. And if some of them shoot things, then Nova is going to work with them to shoot other people. And then Lil Green's going to take pictures of it while it happens.
Man, we have like an entire
line. Sounds like a plan.
Okay, I guess we're working together then. Sounds good. And I guess my dogs aren't barking anymore. They're just going to be, they're going to be shooting lasers or something like that. It's going to be like the Austin, it's going to be the Austin Power saying freaking lasers.
Well, maybe you've got like, yeah, maybe you've got like dogs out there, but maybe you train the dogs to be able to work with the robots so that the robots and the dogs can go into locations that would be difficult to get like a person into.
That could work out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So back to the robot thing. 1-0. So this, this kind of laborer bot, what would its personality be?
Not something like overly enthusiastic, like the butler, but
like semi-depressed. That would be amazing. I'm not saying you said that, but it just made me think like the robots, like, you know, in the World of Warcraft or in Warcraft before World of Warcraft, when you click too many times on the grunts, the orc grunts, they're like, what do you want? Zug, zug.
Yeah, it's just like they're like edgy teenagers. Right? Every time they get back to Rick, they're like, ah, whatever. I'd prefer to be on the Skynet anyways.
Fine. Or just something like that. Fine. Okay. God. All right. Yeah.
But yeah, just something that's like just generally polite. And just happy, I guess, or at least acts like it.
Somebody who's like overly enthusiastic to do like manual labor, like, hey, can you pile those bricks up over there and start building that wall? And they're like, yes, I would love to. You're like, it's okay. I love piling bricks.
It takes too many tasks. Like, oh yeah, I could pile the bricks and then I can also grout them for you.
Yeah, okay, yeah, grouting would be next. And I'll make it twice as tall. No, just make it exactly as tall as we decided, because the wall needs to be a certain height. Are you sure you don't want it twice as tall? I'd love to make it.
It would be better this way, though.
right. It gives you, like, constructive criticism that, like, is not actually helpful. Well, the bricks are red, but what if they were pink? Okay.
I think it's called deconstructive criticism, honestly.
right.
Well, they're red, so, like, we need to change the color, because we have to accommodate, like, colorblind people. Because, you know, they're not going to be able to see the wall.
Yeah. What if it's, like, a well-actually bot? It's like a, well, actually, if you design them this color instead, then you, like, shut up, just build the road. Please just build the wall for me. That sounds awesome. You guys have any questions about either Bennett or 1s and 0s and this working with robots thing? Nothing.
I kind of dig it, especially since they push like robots and like definitely like pre-war so much that like it's just a common part of society, so like it makes sense. It honestly does. So, and like, because if like robots are everywhere in society, I feel like, because like they're in it, and like, not, well, like, I'm not, I don't want to say, I don't know if it's like common people or like the upper, like wealthy, like just as like they're the modern day maid. Mm-hmm. And then the military has their hands in them, and then like a lot of places that you visit, they have them giving tours, doing security, doing the work. So it's, no, like, honestly, that is probably one of the best jobs to get.
It's a good point. In Fallout 4, we see what is like the average American family, right? You've got a husband and a wife. They're both employed, so they have the money to put into a nice home and some things for their home. They have a child. And so, obviously, they've decided to recently purchase a Mr. Handy. You even see the box in one of the rooms still, right? And if the average American home can have a Mr. Handy, well, then lots of people can afford at least a robot.
Yeah.
Not to mention businesses and the military and everybody else. So that makes sense why they're so common. They're all over the place. So, yeah, it seems like a good line of work where you're going to constantly have something to do. So I think it's a good choice. All right. Any other thoughts on robots before we move on? Not me. other of us.
Well, of course not you, but you know,
we know everything about you already.
Yeah,
what else is there to ask?
All right, Scarecrow. I think you're last on the list. Are you? Where are you going? What are you doing? What does your life look like in this 2070s world?
Scarecrow, can you actually hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, it got loud earlier, so I had to mute. But with my health, I can't join the military, unfortunately. Otherwise, I would. But I do have heating and air repair and refrigeration because I went to college for that.
Okay.
My father was a mechanic and a tow truck driver, so I know some of that. So I could definitely do those two things.
So you're thinking, like, you would just translate those skills directly into that world?
Yeah.
Okay. So you see yourself, like, running your own business? In chat. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Maybe. Bennett actually said in chat, because I posted this in chat earlier, that I could be the guy going around fixing the Nuka-Cola machines and... That could also translate into the Vim machines and the milk machines you see all over the Commonwealth.
Right.
And everywhere else.
Right. Now, would you like to work for a company like Nuka-Cola and do that as a Nuka-Cola employee, be the guy they send out to go, you know, work on, you know, fixing up the machines that get broken or whatever else needs to go, like, be repaired? Or would you rather just kind of do your own thing and be kind of a contract worker?
Either or, really.
So neither makes a difference to you? You, like, if you imagined yourself showing up at a place, would you be proud to wear, like, the Nuka-Cola jumpsuit and be like, hey, where's your Nuka-Cola machine? I'm here to fix it. Or would you rather have, like, your own business jumpsuit or some other people that you're working for that are more of, like, a local kind of thing?
I mean, truthfully, Nuka-Cola would be the better choice because I'm pretty sure they could pay more than just a typical handyman. So,
yeah, you would hope. I mean, they're a big company. You'd hope they've got some, you know, good some health insurance plans and some retirement or something, you know, going on with that. Yeah. Yeah. Man, can you imagine, like, getting in your... Like, I'm sure they give you a truck, right? And they send you out and you're like, all right, you're going over to Boston today. You're going to swing by, you know, these five locations. You're going to check on their machines. You're going to, you know, update them or upgrade them or repair them, whatever they need to do. Right. And you put on your Nuka-Cola jumpsuit. You and your buddy get in your Nuka-Cola truck that you're riding around in, this big red Nuka-Cola truck with all of your gear and all of your tools and all that stuff in it. And you head off down the road and you pass by Maverick and you, how's it going? And maybe he's delivering some Nuka-Cola. But can you imagine riding around in a Nuka-Cola truck? I mean, it's the equivalent of being like working for like Coke or Pepsi. And like today in our world, we're like, yeah, Coke or Pepsi, whatever. We see them all over the place. And I'm sure people would feel the same way. But because this is like a fun thing for us, to me, that just sounds so much more cool, right? Like,
okay.
Yeah. What do you guys think? What do you think about this, like, repair, just a repair person, somebody who works on things?
So hear me out. If you were to start your own business, Scarecrow, you could call it the Scarecrow Cola Repair Co. And so you can go around. It could be catchy. You have your own van. You can have your own face plaster across it. And you could be classy. And also you can steal the occasional new cola from the machine as well. But like... Because I'm pretty sure because in our world, Coca-Cola doesn't own the vending machines. They just provide the supply for it. And so
that's true.
And so Nuka-Cola wouldn't be fixing those machines if they don't own them.
Yeah, I'm just putting out a scenario. Yeah. Maybe they also own the machines in that world.
Maybe I'm just brainstorming from what I know about. Like, yeah. But yeah. Anyway, so like, I'm saying, like, if you work for yourself, first of all, you can make your own classy, catchy name. You can have your own area of operation. You can have your own time. You can do everything, all this other junk, which would be impossible if you're working for a super corporation like Nuka-Cola, or even if you're working for a local repair shop, it would be like you wouldn't be sent across the country. You wouldn't be given these probably insane hours. You'd be more independent, really.
I think to that point, Rob makes a good point. He says, you think Nuka-Cola, Rob, the princess in chat, would be willing to provide employees benefits? Like, at this point in the way things are going in the world, the corporations are screwing over their employees pretty badly. And that might be actually a bad place to work compared to being able to do your own thing. And then now you are defining how much you're charging. You're managing your own clientele. You're deciding to put a certain percentage away for the future because you're now running your own business. In fact, you're able to hire other employees and send them out and do the work. Scarecrow, do you enjoy like being hands-on? I know some people just want to be hands-on with a job like that, and other people, they're like, they like it, but if they could make more money by hiring other people and training them and being in management, that would seem like the better thing to do for them.
I mean, I'd rather be hands-on than be in a management role, maybe a supervisory role I could handle, but not upper management.
Right.
But yeah, I prefer hands-on.
Got it. The other thing that this is really works well with, and who posted it in chat? Aim for the Hay says, with as much broken stuff after the fallout, he would be set for life. So here's the thing. Like, if you take any of the roles that you guys have talked about, some of them work better in the post-war world than others do, right? Like, so Scarecrow being able to repair things and be very hands-on and able to kind of do whatever needs to be done, that's super useful once the bombs drop and you're living in a wasteland and everything's busted and you gotta make do with what you've got, right? Being in a soldier role, being somebody who's been out on the battlefield, now you have to deal with raiders and all sorts of stuff like that, and you have to understand how weapons work and coordinate tactics, and you know, that makes a lot of sense as well. That stuff translates over. But something like Bennett, poor Bennett, I don't know that you've got too many corporations to sell robots to anymore after the bombs drop. You know, that role doesn't become as beneficial directly in that way, but being able to understand people and understand what makes somebody motivated to buy something or not is a negotiation tactic. So that role could play into like some sort of leadership position, somebody who's able to motivate other people, that kind of thing. Real quick, let's just go around to everybody. And how do you think your job would translate into the wasteland? I'm just going to go down the list. Lil Green, what do you think? Photography?
It wouldn't.
You're like, nope.
Well, all right, let me, because from what I can see in, at least when 76 I've seen it, they use film. And when the bombs drop, it would destroy all the film, honestly. Because if film is just reacts to like any source of light, even being X-ray. And of course, when a nuclear bomb explodes, X-ray, gamma ray, like that is released, so it would completely fog film and destroy it, and you wouldn't be able to use it. So photography would be useless, honestly.
Yeah, so. I think you're right, unless you were to find film in locations that were far enough away from any of the radiation.
I mean, like,
that,
then,
that
like,
survives,
it might still be few and far between, because like I don't think I've ever seen like a digital camera at all. So like,
well, even the screens are just like black and green, like,
yeah,
it's not
so,
like
a digital
good for
camera
photography.
Wouldn't work,
right?
So, but yeah, like I wouldn't, like my work would be kind of like null and void.
Yeah, that makes sense. Bennett, do you think you could translate sales skills into the wasteland?
So post-war, caravans exist. I'm running a caravan, and me and my good friend Maverick here are going to handle it together. He's going to handle the logistics side of it. He's going to be sure we're delivering to all the stores throughout the wasteland on time, promptly. We're getting the goods there. I'm just going to find the right people, find what they need. And Maverick's going to handle the rest.
Yeah, this is a similar topic to we actually had on one of our patron chats before. So Maverick, you translate that over to caravanning and transporting goods across the wasteland. That makes sense, right?
Of course.
Yeah. Scarecrow, your repair stuff, I feel like that's a direct correlation, being able to repair items and things that everybody needs, right? Nova, dogs, dog training. What do you think about that?
Really depends on if I honestly don't know.
I mean, dogs like, still, dogs are still around.
Yeah. Like, yeah. The dogs still around. Like probably train them to be guard dogs. Basically I would have to learn how to do that first though. So that'd be great.
But so even helping people in need, like in the wasteland, there are going to be people who have disabilities or whatever, who having a companionship with a dog that can help them out might be the difference between life and death.
I suppose, but there's also a predisposition of the dog's personality they need to take into account as well. And having a large stock of dogs to choose from is almost essential already to, it is really essential in order to choose the perfect companion for that person. So in the post-war world, finding that would be few and far between. You're not going to find a dog meet every single corner. You're more likely to find a mongrel or a hound or I don't know, like whatever they're called, mongrels and Fallout.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. You'll find those more likely than not. You're not going to find dog meat.
That's true. That's true. Bennett, you raised your hand. You wanted to add something?
Raiders have attack dogs, so Nova still has a market to sell to.
Yeah,
yeah, but I'm a nice guy though. I'd rather just make guard dogs.
Yeah, protect dogs. So for your little settlements and your farms that can like help watch over your property and bark exactly. When somebody comes and like all of that stuff. That totally makes sense.
Like probably more than likely the hunting dogs. Actually, that's probably what I would do is like bird retrieval or like if you know what a Weimaraner is or a. A dog Argentino. They are a Weimaraner's bred specifically to hunt bears in Germany, and dog Argentino is specifically bred to hunt jaguars in South America, something along those lines possibly as well. Where I don't know, like get a pack of Weimaraners, because I have one. I actually do have one. Get a pack of Weimaraners and send them out to the local Yagwai.
Hunt it down. Yeah,
exactly. Bring the food in, or same thing, tracking rag stags or mole rats or anything else along those lines. It would make hunting actually a lot easier. Yeah. So that's probably more like about where I would fall into, so just be a hunter. And also I have a lot of guns, and so that'd be pretty easy too. That'd fall into that as well.
So those two things would work well for hunting.
Yes, they would.
Or for defense.
Both would be great.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense too. Now, ones and zeros, if you're constructing robots or programming them, what do you think? How do you think that works into the wasteland?
So I want to disclaim, I would not do this in today's day and age. It's messed up. But in the wasteland, where there is no rules and you always have to watch your own back, I would still take on the workload of like troubleshooting people's robots, all that. I'd probably be solo, or at least working with a group who knows what they're doing. But there would be an alternative intent. I would fix whatever they needed me to fix, but I would introduce like a backdoor into the system, or at least like introduce malware.
Okay.
So that in the event that I need to, I can use them and turn it into like a Mr. House at the Hoover Dam sort of situation.
Uh-huh. Or the mechanist.
I could call upon them if I need to. Of course, I don't know if I'll have the knowledge to be able to do such a thing, but it would be nice to be able to at least like shut down the robots if I'm going to be attacked by one of them or something.
Well, hey, I mean, it's the wasteland. You've got a lot of time on your hands because
that is true.
You're not watching movies anymore because those don't get made, or whatever you're doing in your free time is probably just surviving and then learning skills that are gonna help you survive, like being able to shut down robots so they don't kill you. So I think you probably would have time to figure that out over a few years. That's cool. It's cool the way to think about, like, I mean, it's one of those post-apocalyptic things, right? This joke of like half of us have jobs that would not be very useful if the world ended, because, you know, like, well, I'm an accountant. Well, good luck. You're going to starve and die. Somebody's going to kill you because you don't have a very useful skill in some place like the wasteland. Right. But somebody who is a mechanic or a soldier or somebody who is good at dealing with people. Right. Like those are skills that still translate into that kind of world. So it's neat to think about that, the jump from one to the other. Guys, this has been super fun. Thank you for joining me again. We got to wrap up the show. I'm going to go run through everybody one more time. Feel free to share if you have a project that you're working on that you want to share with other people, or just a way to get a hold of you, feel free to share that. Lil Green, I know you got your photography stuff. If people want to reach out, if they want to see if you're in the area close to them and get some photos done, how do they do that?
You could reach me on the Discord. I'm Lil Green on there, or follow me on Instagram at @LilGreen_photography. So, and shout out to the one guy that found me and followed me.
Awesome.
So hopefully I'll get some more content that you all enjoy as well.
Bennett's like, it's me. He's pointing to himself. Bennett, did you follow Lil Green? That's awesome. That's awesome.
Awesome.
Bennett, what do you have anything going on or ways people can reach out?
You can ping me on the Discord if you want to chat. You can join Tom's streams on Twitch. I try and join as often as I can. It's very fun. Get Thanks. To talk to people.
Yeah.
And then you can catch me on the next Elder Scrolls patron chat. So there
awesome.
You go.
Awesome. Yeah, it's coming up on Thursday, assuming that my house doesn't get blown up by the hurricane. So we're just going to have to see how that goes. But hopefully we can still do that Thursday night. So awesome. Thanks for joining us again, Bennett. Maverick, I know you got stuff going on.
Yes.
That's
yes,
it.
I yes, am.
Yep. Yeah, yes.
I am the host of the Fallout Roundtable. We are on any major platforms, your streaming platforms such as Spotify. We have a YouTube channel now.
Nice.
We should have an Instagram in the next couple of weeks. Our Twitter is FalloutRTB at FalloutRTB. And then me personally, I've been continuously frantically searching with the second podcast, The Tales of the Apocalypse. That's still working on. And then if you want to reach me, you smoke signals.
Smoke signals? Okay.
Yes. Yes. I can see them over yonder, wherever I am.
Very cool.
Or at your nearest truck stop. You can fax me from there.
Yeah, but don't light the truck stop on fire
in
order to make smoke signals. That would be a bad idea.
That'd be a very bad idea.
Very bad. Don't do that. Well, thanks for joining us again, Maverick. And go check out the Fallout Roundtable. Scarecrow, you got anything going on or ways people can reach out?
Well, just the Discord. I've got all my social and PlayStation and all that connected to Discord, so you can find me there.
Very cool. Well, thanks for joining us again. Nova, I know you got some stuff going.
Yeah, I just completed a video a week ago about, like, it really dives into why the combat rifle is chambered in the what looks like a puny 4-hit ACP when there's more powerful rounds out there. And it touched on the topic of what the U.S. military strategy that they were pursuing during the Sino-American War, and how the combat rifle chamber and a pistol caliber really falls into that, or why I think it does, at least. Besides that, I'm currently working on a video about the Scorch. I'm working on lore videos about Call of Duty, like the Call of Duty Modern Warfare, in preparation for Modern Warfare 2 being released at the end of next month. I have like 9 other different scripts I'm writing as well, which I've kind of tossed the wayside for temporarily.
Uh-huh.
And like my YouTube channel is at Supernova Gaming on YouTube, and I have a Twitter, exact same thing. Twitch and Telegram as well, if you really want me to, but I'm mostly active within Discord, and I'm on the Discord server, and I'll reply within a couple of minutes if you ping me.
Well, there you go. Well, go check out Supernova Gaming and check out the Fallout lore videos there. Awesome stuff, dude. Thanks for joining again. And then ones and zeros, what you got?
Nothing much. I just have a screaming cat at my door, but that's about all I have to offer.
Okay. All right. Anybody want a screaming cat? Let ones and zeros know. But yeah, thank you everybody for joining me. This has been super fun. This is always the highlight of my month to get to hang out and nerd out about all this awesome Fallout stuff. We've got some all sorts of fun stuff coming up October. Did you guys realize October is the 25th anniversary of Fallout? It's coming up. Yep. So be looking for content creators to be doing all sorts of different stuff this month. I know Bethesda's got some things cooking up I can't talk about yet. I'll be doing some thematic episodes throughout the month. Hopefully I'll have some giveaways to do. I think what I'll do is I will be giving them away on stream. So it'll be one of those things where you don't have to enter anything. You don't have to spend any money. If you just show up during one of my streams, then maybe you will get a giveaway, because it'll just be kind of random to whoever happens to be there. So twitch.tv/robotsradio for the live streams, for any of the shows when we record them live, like this one, or the game streams on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Friday afternoons, except for maybe not tomorrow, because I will be trying to survive a hurricane. Maybe I should live stream that from my phone. That would be exciting. Oh, we just watched Tom die. Wonderful. Great. Man, that got real dark.
Here's Tom's weather rock live from, oh, God. From Florida.
You see Tom's live stream and Jim Cantore coming in the background. I was like, oh, he's not doing good.
Oh, hey, guys. Oh, yeah, no. The storm's doing all right. Oh, there goes my roof. Look. Oh. Now I can't hear anything. The wind is too. Guys, oh, I got to sign off.
It's a gif of the news lady who's talking. All of a sudden, a stop sign comes out of the moon, just hits her inside the face.
Yeah.
You ever see that?
Yeah, no, I haven't seen that one.
Like, hey guys, I'm doing great. Bong.
There you go. Yeah, I'll do what I should do is just video myself standing in the middle of the road with an American flag with no shirt on. Just like that guy. Remember that guy? Hurricane guy? Yeah. I don't have the long flowing hair, but I
could get a wig.
There you go. I could get a wig. I would probably blow off. I would just stand in 100 mile an hour winds in the middle of my road for like hours live streaming it.
We're on the mechanism helmet.
No, Tom. What you need to do is you have the American flag like stuck somewhere on your body and be playing the bass guitar as the wind blows past you 100 miles an hour, and you're just in the eye of the storm.
Right.
You can't hear anything, but you can dub it over with music later.
Yes, it'll be awesome. It'll be epic. Well, thanks again, guys.
And everything.
Yeah. Headbang into the storm. All right. Well, thanks for being here, guys. We'll see you next time. Stay safe out there. That includes me, too. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter @robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.